ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into the NBA Finals Game 2 toward the end of the show. See what we think about what might happen tonight. Some adjustments that need to be made if you're Milwaukee to even up that series at one apiece. Yesterday, the preseason All-Big 12 football team was announced. Players of the Year and the Offense, Defense, Newcomer of the Year, First Team and Second Team, or First Team Offense and Defense. I think probably the preseason poll will be out today, so we'll talk about all things Big 12 football. Can you believe Big 12 Media Days a week from yesterday and today, the 14th and 15th of July? So it's right around the corner for college football to get kicked off here in the state of Oklahoma and all across the country.
Well, that's what you could do next week if I'm not.
Just go down to Big 12 Media Day?
Just go down there, yeah.
It sounds great to me.
You're media.
Starting on Tuesday. Media. I just head down Tuesday, spend Wednesday and Thursday.
Is it at the Star again?
I'm not sure where it's at.
But the point is, they're actually...
Which is probably not a great sign for me to be able to go if I don't know where it's at.
Well, I'm sure you can figure it out.
Yeah, between now and then, you'd think. I'm wise enough to look that up on the internet, right?
Probably. But they are having media.
Yes, I believe so.
Like not Zoom media days. Actual press conferences, people there asking questions face-to-face, media.
Efforting.
That's what you're – okay, you're gathering that. Well, that's what you should do. I was real worried for you with me being absent next week of you being able to fill airtime because I've been in that position. It's no fun. No luck?
This will be the first Big 12 football media days since 2019.
There we go. Okay.
As the 2020 event, which was set to be virtual, was eventually canceled due to COVID-19. And more questions than answers on what the 2020 season was going to look like. So I would say yes. It's actually going to be at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, I think that's where they had the, in 19.
Looks like it. Looks like maybe it was set up on the field there at AT&T Stadium.
Building's just big enough to hold.
It's just barely big enough to hold everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe our new friend will be there. Or what we hope is our new friend.
Who's that, Aaron?
I don't know. I like new friends though.
I think he's a little bit too big for that.
He's not gonna be there.
He'll be at someone else's media day.
Maybe if he knew we were gonna be there, he might come hang out early. Anyhow, so we got all things Big 12 preseason. Home Run Derby, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I'm very happy about this.
I knew that you would be happy about the way the field was finalized.
Yep.
We'll tell you who is in the field of the Home Run Derby. It pretty exciting if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
For a few guys. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm going to be able to recite the history of the post-Josh Hamilton New York Home Run Derby fields and champions for that matter. But this one's pretty exciting. And not just because of Ohtani. I think some of the other guys are kind of cool to watch.
And because it's in Colorado, it could be going on forever.
It could. It could. The talked about, you know, would the broadcasting be remote? I've got an example of how hard that can be. No matter who you are, no matter who you're broadcasting for, kind of gives me pause and almost thanking the good Lord above that we didn't try this when we talked about it a few times, just with what happened to poor John Sterling, 83-year-old man. Maybe help him out a little bit there. And also, OK Kids regional baseball results. As I said yesterday, here's the deal. It's hard to find this stuff. And so I know all the scores at one regional because I was there. But outside of that, it's hard to find these scores. So
hard.
If you want us to tell about your kid and what they did, tell us.
You got to tell us.
225-9698, phone or text line. 225-9698. I do have one score from outside of our region, and it sounds like it was a very, very, very exciting finish down in Elgin in the 12U regional tournament between Elk City Outlaws and Anadarko.
Okay.
I do. I even had the deets to that one.
So you're going to leave us
to how it finished off. Jared Atha, I got to be honest with you. I'm dragging a little.
Why?
We
late night.
Yeah, there was a bit of a delay from the storms up north in Woodward, 30 okay. minutes to be exact. So everything was pushed back, and we didn't come rolling in until about 12:30.
Woo!
Last night, but up and at 'em this morning. Good day for the local teams. Well, not Woodward, I guess, but at least down here. They're at that 10U regional in Woodward. So Elk City, the Crushers, beat Alva 9-5. So now they are in what was essentially the
semifinal. So they crushed the Gold Bugs.
Yeah, it was 3-0, then it was 3-3, then it was 5-3, then it was 9-3, then it ended up 9-5. So Elk City is into basically a play-in game to the state tournament.
Oh,
today,
cool.
Tonight, against the Kingfisher Blue Sox. Kingfisher beat Woodward 9-1 last night, Woodward Rangers. Kingfisher, that going into the regional for the I hadn't seen Alva. It was, to me, those were the two teams. You had to beat one of them to get to the state tournament. So those two teams will play tonight. Now, it won't be the winner won't be the regional champion, but they'll be in the finals, which means the winner of tonight's game will be in next week's state tournament over in Tallahassee. Because the two teams go.
Right.
So this is a play-in game to the state tournament. Then you're in the regional final. Then somebody's got to beat you twice. So that's Elk City and Kingfisher. Woodward will play Watonga. It'll be a 4:30 game this afternoon. And then Sayre, the Eagles beat Arapahoe Butler 9-1 last night. Listen, shout out to the Arapahoe Butler coaches and kids. They're young, kind of like our team is at Sayre. It just, you know, you can tell. All you got to do is look out there, and you can tell the difference between a couple, like Kingfisher, for instance. They got giants. It's like, oh, my gosh, how are we in the same age group?
Yeah.
But, you know, the second year, I mean, you can tell the difference. There's more confidence. They're more sure of themselves and that kind of thing. But that Arapahoe team, there were some young guys out there. But I loved watching them in the field because on every pitch, everybody was moving. Somebody had a job no matter what happened.
Yeah.
Whether it be backing up the throw from just the catcher to the pitcher. You know, there was a play where we had a runner on first. They tried to pick him off, you know, threw it over to first. The third baseman, instead of standing there looking up at the sky, he's backing up the throw to the pitcher from the first baseman. I mean, that stuff is just awesome to watch for me, that those kids are learning, being taught to play the game the right way.
Right.
And they're young. They're just like I said, those two, us, them, and a lot of that Woodward team will be back playing in the regional tournament next year too. Just because it's kind of the first year teams, and so that was cool.
That is impressive because it was cool to watch. At that age, it's hard to teach that. It's easy to forget it. Say you're in left field to back up, you know, your shortstop or the throw over to third, you know, and vice versa over right to first. It's easy to forget that. So that comes from good coaching, some good kids paying attention,
no doubt,
wanting to be coachable.
No doubt,
we started seeing that. With our girls towards the end of the year, everybody knew where they had to be, even if they were not necessarily involved in the play. They were involved in the play. It's really satisfying to see, to know that it's clicking for them.
And it's like next level when you're where you're supposed to be when nothing happens.
Exactly.
That's when you know that they're really, really into it and paying attention.
What's cool is when the parents and the fans send out, you know, the good jobs to the player that's backing up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
way to be moving.
Yeah, like, way to be there. Good job, Joey. Way to get over there and back him up. That's
right.
Where you need to be.
Yeah.
That it validates for them making that effort. Like, oh, well, hey, I did a good job. So,
and then in the event where the ball is thrown away, you're right there and nothing happens.
Exactly. Nobody advances because you were where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, it was really good stuff. So that was fun to watch.
That is cool.
Listen, I'm not here to brag, but old Wyatt Compton threw a complete game.
Hey,
two hits, gave up one run. You know,
brag.
Good stuff. Threw strikes.
Listen,
that's what you want to do.
You got the mic, you brag. And again, parents, If you want to brag about your kid, call us and brag about your kid.
Yeah, 225-9698.
We
might have to cut
you
off.
We'll give you time. But
we'll see.
Yeah.
Depends on who you're bragging on. No, I'm teasing.
You can brag all you want.
That was good stuff last night. So it'll be, like I said, Sayre and Alva. That's an elimination game at 6:15. First game of the day, Woodward with Tonga. That's an elimination game. And then that nightcap at 8, the Crushers and Kingfisher to earn a spot into the regional final and also the state tournament. That is the 10U OK Kids Regional Baseball Tournament, Woodward. Now, down in Elgin yesterday.
Okay, now I'm excited to hear about this.
Okay, so I suppose score is 3-1 Anadarko over the Outlaws, Elk City Outlaws, in the bottom of the fifth inning.
Now, okay, go into the bottom of the fifth.
Bottom of the fifth, Outlaws down 2.
And Elk, they're the home team,
yes.
So they're batting, obviously.
They're going to bat.
Yes.
And Elk City gets the bases loaded, and one Miller Mayfield, Matt's kid, walks to the plate, building it up. And he struck. No, kidding. He had a grand slam. Walk off grand slam to win the game 5-3.
Oh, my goodness.
So the Outlaws win 5-3 over Anadarko.
Oh, I bet people are going crazy.
I bet you that was fun to be at.
Man. That's where you hope maybe a parent has a video of that or something.
Yeah, I know. That's what we ought to be scouring
maybe
Facebooks.
Yeah. Maybe that's some audio you can grab for your. Your report this afternoon.
No doubt.
That'd be something else to hear.
Yeah, we'll look for that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That's awesome.
I mean,
Awesome. Everybody's
got a phone in that situation, right?
Oh, my goodness. You'd think. So, I know when my kid went up the bat, it was either me or my wife who had the phone up. You know, you never know what could happen. So maybe mom or dad? Maybe?
Yeah, I'm debating on
reaching out to him?
No. Our newest cohort.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
One of his neighbors has his wife has the phone up all the time, like doesn't miss anything. And he has he calls it KSPN. Kelly Sports Network.
Okay. That's cool.
Unfortunately, it wasn't. Here you go. Miller's mom had it on her Facebook, so we'll be able to find it.
Oh, good.
Fantastic work on the text line this morning.
Great.
Boys. Fantastic.
That's
so
awesome.
The Outlaws win 5-3. So I believe that they would be in that spot. I was just efforting that. Be in the same spot as what the Crushers are, meaning regional semifinal, win a game, go to the state tournament.
That's cool. That's really fun. You said, are both 12U. 10U over at Salisaw?
State tournament?
Or where are they at?
State baseball, 12U would be at Weatherford.
Oh, they're at Weatherford. Okay.
Yeah, how handy is this for the 10U?
I'll say this.
From here.
I hope it doesn't rain.
How about this? So, the T-ball, Weatherford. Coach pitch, Clinton. 12U, Weatherford. Preps, Weatherford. 10U, Salisaw. Whammo.
Complete opposite side of the state.
How do you feel?
Oh, man.
So, anyway, that's fun stuff. Let me see here. Baseball regionals, 12U.
Listen, they make state. They'd be willing to travel to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Who cares?
Well, last time we had to go to Salisaw for state, we stayed in Arkansas, actually, as it were. So the Outlaws would be 8 o'clock tonight. Playing the winner of the Elk City Sox and whoever won that Fort Cobb Elgin game yesterday. No. Fort Cobb Elgin played Tuesday. So Elk City Sox versus that winner. Winner plays the Outlaws.
Cool.
At 8 o'clock. And if it's like the 10U, which I assume it is, that winner is into the state tournament, but also in the regional final. So anybody else have anything? Tell us. Because it's just, when you look at these brackets, they're exactly the same as they were last week when they got drawn up. There's no updates. We just simply get that from the, you know, parents that I know. It's hard to keep up with it. So yeah. If you do know, tell us, 225-9698, and that would be a blast. Okay, so, you know, we kicked around the idea, not really knowing what our options were back when football season started in 2020. We kicked around the idea of, okay, so can we pull off, say, a remote broadcast?
Yeah.
And what would be, First off, the challenges of it. How would it be pulled off? What would we have to do? Could we do it? Would we do it? You know, and I know you and I talked a bunch about, golly, if you're not there, then there's so many things that you would miss. Not being able to see it with your own eyes, because first off, the camera is pointed wherever the camera is pointed, and you're prisoner to that.
Exactly.
No matter what.
Because basketball, for example, I'm constantly looking at the scoreboard. I'm, you know, to know how many timeouts are left, who the foul was on, you know, if I don't see who addressed, you know. And then if I'm not looking at the scoreboard, I'm looking at the official when they address a foul or anything going on the court. You're right. You're prisoner of that because typically the camera is pointed at just the action and action only.
Well, and even when you're in the gym, there are certain places that the scoreboard may not have the player and the foul.
That too, yeah.
And so if you're, you know, I personally like to be on the side away from the scorer's table just because from the camera angle, then you can see this. So, you can see the arrow.
Possession arrow.
The possession arrow and that kind of stuff as the viewer. But the problem with that is then you're also the official's back is turned to you when they're calling out the fence. So it's hard to see the numbers. So if there's – it's really hard to follow that even when you're in there, much less if you're just on watching a video.
You know, on a side note, I like, you know, where I'm set up in Canute because I'm basically right next to the scorer's table, and I can even hear the official, you know, I got to reach number two, you know, stuff like that. On black, number two, you know, I can hear
you can hear it.
You can hear it. You know, I can hear it between my rambling. So,
hey, thank you to our man, Dylan Satilli. I was told this morning the Elk City Sox lost to Elgin. So it looks like Elgin and the Outlaws will be in that.
I got you.
To play to go to the regional final. Okay. Anyways, back to your.
Yeah.
But it's just difficult. And listen.
And we toyed, like you said, with the idea when I was in the whole quarantine thing. I was, you know, it took me out of like two games. And, you know, shout out to Sean Wilson stepping up, helping me out there. But before that, we were looking at trying to do that remotely.
Well, it's a good thing you had those kids to run the computer.
Yeah. those guys are awesome. Those guys, you know, and I know I could have trusted them if we had figured out. I could have trusted them to say, guys, go set it up and press stream. I'll take care of the rest. Just do what you always do. But we couldn't figure it out. We almost figured it out for softball for slow pitch state softball. Had the setup ready to go in the rain delay.
Yeah.
And then actually postponed the game for the entire day. So we nixed the idea because I couldn't make the trip over there because of scheduling conflicts. So anyways, it is a monumental task.
So that's
it's huge. It's so hard. It's not as easy as someone would think.
No, and it's not as easy as a lot of these people in professional basketball and also baseball so far, and even a little bit of football at times, have made it look.
Right.
There's just challenges. There's tons of it. So, turns out the Yankees are still remotely broadcasting with John Sterling and Susan Waldman.
First off, why?
Baseball isn't allowing they're relaxing rules after the All-Star break.
Okay.
But the Yankees meet the criteria for now. They may just be cheaping out a little bit. The evil empire Luke must have stolen some of Darth's money because the evil empire isn't blowing the money like they normally would. So,
it saves some plane tickets.
That's the backdrop too. What the sound you're going to hear. John Sterling, you've heard him. I promise you, you've heard him on a call. The Yankees win.
Right.
And then his partner, Susan Waldman. John Sterling's 83, Susan Waldman, 74 years old. Now, last night, the Yankees are in Seattle. 3-hour time difference.
Right.
So I don't know what time this was. I don't know how many
imagining
possible vodkas first, deep anybody was.
Yeah, first pitch is probably around 9 o'clock our time, so that would be like 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, yeah.
Let's say the East Coast.
If it's a 7 o'clock first pitch out in Seattle, it's 10 o'clock on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So early in the game, John Sterling dead on it with this one.
One swung on, there it goes. Deep left field, it is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. It is a Judgian blast. Now, Aaron Judge blasts a 2-run home run in the second deck in left. All rise. Here comes the judge.
Okay, so that sounds like John Sterling.
Yes.
Dead on, perfect John Sterling moment there.
Correct.
That's a third inning. So let's say, what are we getting to be, about 11 o'clock or so on the East Coast? Third inning on that home run.
Depends how fast the innings went. And yeah, you're pushing, 11, 11:30 hour into the game, yeah. Sure.
So then the next time Aaron Judge is up, and they just happen to be coming back from a break, like he was going to lead off the inning or right, you know, right there at first.
Okay.
So this is the next plate appearance for Aaron Judge.
Now here is Judge. Man, the breaking ball is hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Unfortunately, that was a replay of the home run, but it was a good replay. Hey, I'm sorry. It's on the monitor. What am I supposed to do?
This is a great way to do a game, isn't it?
Yep. I think his partner, as soon as he started with the call, she's trying to chime in. Like, up. You hear
Man,
it again.
The breaking ball is right in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone.
Here, let's get back.
Here is Judge. Man, the breaking ball is hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone.
What's pretty amazing is the similarities between the two calls until he realizes.
Wait
a minute. But man,
notice the crowd didn't react at all to the replay. They just murmurs and.
That's a great point. Hang on, let me pull the first one up again.
The first one, the crowd's going
the
nuts.
The 2-1 swung on, there it goes. Deep left field, it is high. It is far. It is gone.
Yeah, even in Seattle, you can hear some crowd behind there.
Mean, it's the Yankees. They draw a crowd everywhere they go.
Yeah, you can hear them kind of,
and then here's Judge. The Man, the breaking ball is hit in the air to deep left. That ball.
You know what else you're missing?
What?
The crack of the bat.
Yeah.
The crack of the bat's out there.
Here's Judge. Man, the breaking ball is hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far.
So, in his defense, I mean, you probably don't if you're not there, you may not be remembering exactly how it went.
Right.
I mean, you're not going, wait a minute, he just hit that to the same fan, like in your mind.
Sure.
Boy, that pitch looks similar to the one he hit out in the third inning.
Why did he throw him another breaking ball? He lost
gotta,
on the
but,
one.
But the guy that needs the... I mean, other than that, it's funny. But the guy in the truck has got to put replay up on the screen.
Yeah,
somehow help him out, man.
He's
83. It's got to be past midnight in New York.
Yeah, there's nothing on the screen that indicated that it was a replay.
There was nothing.
They were just recapping his last at-bat, which was a home run. They were showing, this is what happened last night. But, and where's the,
Is there not a producer in their ear or something?
A producer saying, hey, John, we're going to play a replay here when we
get
back from break.
Well, maybe he was...
Asleep?
Asleep. In the can. You know, came running back in, put his headsets on, looked up. Oh, my God, it is high. It is deep. It is a replay.
All rise for the
I wish he'd have kept going. All rise for the judge's replay.
But we're not making fun of the guy because he's put in a bad spot.
We
got
to
come
it's
on.
Hard.
Come on. We can't get these guys back in the booth.
It's supposed to happen after the All-Star break.
We
got to
get
them
back in the booth. This is ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous... I saw the breaking news. Zero fans at the Olympics. Zero. They just announced it. None.
That didn't
How
bother
stupid
me.
Is that?
I'm not watching the Olympics anyway.
I wasn't
going to
watch it in the first
back.
Place. No, but now
you
I
You know what? That's
I have
great.
Zero fans means I have zero interest. It's we are so beyond this.
You know,
we are so past this.
I got to tell you. It's supposed to start, the 23rd? 2 weeks from Saturday?
I don't even know.
It pops up. If you're watching the hockey game, you surely saw it. Because they
I had the hockey game on,
they're
by
promoing
the
heck out of it because it's NBC.
Yeah.
I think it's the 23rd. I wouldn't sit here today and guarantee you that they're really going to happen.
No.
I'm not going to guarantee you that they're really going to play
them. Just cancel them. Just cancel.
We'll see. But I certainly wouldn't stone cold lock it up that
I mean they're clearly
they'll actually play the Olympics.
Does the IOC pay the city to host the event?
Oh, surely.
I mean, they're clearly not making money now.
Yeah,
with,
that's
with
true.
With no fans. I'm just wondering what's the point now.
It's very true.
What's the point?
It's very.
And I know some athletes. True. This is the pinnacle of their sport.
Oh, sure.
You know, with track and field and swimming and
gymnastics.
Diving and gymnastics. I get that, but I'm like, let's just wait another 3 years. I already delayed it a year.
Yeah, but here's the deal, Jared.
It's just,
it has to happen because they'll just keep on delaying it 3 years. Because
yeah,
then the zebra variant will come up.
Yeah.
Or whatever, Zelda or whatever.
Whatever.
It is.
Yeah.
May not even go all the way.
It won't stop.
Doesn't matter.
Just won't stop.
Last thing, right quick, then we got to take a break.
Okay.
Home Run Derby, you got to be thrilled.
Love the message I got the other night.
Got to be thrilled with one Joey Gallo in the field. By the way.
Yeah.
He's hit 10 home runs in 10 games.
The dude's on fire.
Maybe
he
only
is on fire.
Maybe only Ohtani is hotter. He had another one yesterday, 32.
I agree with that.
How about this? Ohtani has hit more home runs in a season than any Japanese player ever, and it's not even the All-Star break.
He's on pace, just reading this from ESPN, on pace to break the franchise record, which is 47. He has 32.
Boy, you'd feel like that's a lock.
Oh, my goodness. He's on pace to hit about 60 this season. I'd say he'd break that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But now,
so they seed him by where they're at right now with home runs.
Okay.
Is that how they seed it? Yeah, this is the way I'm reading it because Ohtani, obviously, the number one seed. Gallo, number two.
Right.
Olsen, well, go ahead and read the list.
Well, it's Ohtani, Trey Mancini, Salvador Perez, Matt Olsen, Joey Gallo, Pete Alonso, who was the defending champ.
Right.
Trevor Story, and then Juan Soto. Yeah, I was seeing that list yesterday watching – from the restaurant we were eating in at Woodward, which was very good, by the way. Main Street and whatever the road is you come on. When you come in.
The highway that goes north.
The
south.
Highway.
Yeah.
Go through town.
Okay.
Get to the first stoplight.
On Main?
No.
No.
That's the second stoplight.
Okay.
First stoplight. I think it's actually Williams. Maybe. Anyway. First stoplight where you could go like to... you know, like, I don't know, McDonald's or whatever, that main road.
Right, right.
East-west.
That's like main, yeah.
Like Highway 412.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. The Main Street's the next one over.
Main Street's the next one.
Okay.
Right there at Main Street. It's on the northwest corner. Little sports bar.
I know it.
It's very good.
Yeah, I know it.
It's very, very good.
I think I've been in there to have some jalapeno poppers.
Oh, really? Yeah, they were called snake bites.
Yes, I know it. I know this one.
They were delicious.
Yeah.
They were very delicious.
Listen, if you're listening, Sports Bar, you want to be a sponsor of the show, we can say your name.
And by the way, one of the coolest things about it was a sports bar.
They had sports on the TV?
They had sports on the TV.
They didn't have HGTV on or curling.
They had the Dodgers and the Marlins. They had the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah.
Maybe even a like a... Around the Horn or something.
Yeah, I mean, sports.
Well, I think what it was is had the soccer game on. And then the soccer game ended.
Okay.
Hey, we can talk soccer if you want to.
Nah.
All right, did you see the preseason all Big 12 announcements yesterday?
I did.
Ahead of the media days next week.
I did.
All right, the Offensive Player of the Year, I don't think much of a surprise, Spencer Rattler. Defensive Player of the Year, Mike Rose, linebacker, Iowa State. Newcomer of the Year, Eric Gray, who's the transfer from Tennessee, running back at Oklahoma. Now, Offensive Player of the Year, I don't think either one of us are surprised who won it. If not him, then who?
Breece Hall.
I think that's the easy answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Breece Hall, a lot of people probably thought should have won the Doak Walker last year. Didn't. But he's you know, basically the nation's leading returning rusher on an offense that's clearly loaded once we start talking about this, the first-team offense. It's basically two teams that comprise the whole thing. I think that makes sense. I tell you a guy, and listen, I haven't decided yet if I'm buying into the hype. You know the hype. The preseason hype.
Ooh, Robinson?
Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
He is the
From
Texas. He is the first guy in a while down there where it's like, whoa. At the running back position.
Yeah.
I heard the guys after us talking yesterday. Trammell and Al. Who is the last really good running back from the University of Texas?
Benson?
Jamal Charles was after him.
Oh, okay.
But we're talking same time frame here.
Yeah, we're talking early 2000s, right?
Yeah, middle 2000s. What,
yeah, yeah.
Charles probably a 06 or 07 draft.
Yeah.
Seemed like he might have been a freshman on the title team or a sophomore.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, they had
Dante... We're going back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A decade easy. I mean, Dante Foreman...
Who?
The big guy, Dante Foreman, a few years ago. More of a fullback. But he was okay. He drafted
by
the
Texans. Yeah, so is the team. They're okay,
but... Bijan Robinson does look a little bit different than that.
He reminds me not of the way – he reminds me of my reaction the first time I saw Derrick Henry in the Sugar Bowl against OU.
Yeah, a little bit. Like,
whoa, why aren't they using that guy more?
Exactly.
You know?
That's exactly right.
And then we know what – but I'm not saying he's that stature and that dominant, but that's the kind of reaction like, whoa, I'm kind of glad they don't utilize that guy, or they did not utilize that guy very much against OU.
Exactly right.
Yeah, but he kind of came on late there in the season, especially in their bowl game.
Yeah, yeah, he and Casey Thompson.
It really gave
a lot of promise
for Texas fans. But then again, how many times have we seen that?
I think there's another guy that you would, if you're a fan of one of the teams in this state, that you're thinking, this guy needs to be in the running. Spencer Sanders.
Okay.
For Oklahoma State to fully, achieve what they're capable of. He has to have a great year. And if he does...
Everything rides on that.
That's right. I think he's the difference between, contending to be in the Big 12 title game versus another solid season but kind of leaves you wanting.
Right.
And, he's shown flashes of being that type of player, but he's got to be way more consistent, take care of the football.
Agreed. You got to take care of the football, quit turning it over. And again, that OSU season rides on his success. It's simple as that.
I really think that, and a little bit of offensive line health would be nice for the Cowboys. And one of the silver linings, and I'll probably hit on this a bunch between now and then, is it was a tough deal last year to have all those injuries on the O-line. I think you might see the fruits of that, though, this year. Some guys got more time than they probably should have. Or than they wanted him to get.
Yeah.
And maybe that accelerates their growth for this year. Defensive player of the year, Mike Rose, linebacker, Iowa State. It's hard to argue with that. There's certain other guys. I think, Dante Stills, West Virginia is a guy that has promise, but he's got to be able to make the plays. A couple of OU guys, some people think Isaiah Thomas, Nick Benito, what have you. He's the one, and honestly, if it's not him, it's almost got to be Will McDonald, the defensive lineman from Iowa State, because they were the best defense in the conference for the entirety of the year last year. So it just makes sense with all those guys back, Mike Rose would be the guy.
Usually that's how it leans, is the linebacker position, unless you're a Ndamukong Suh type player.
Or just a pass rushing terror that's going to get a bunch of sacks on the outside.
Right. No, it's hard to go against Mike Rose, but... it's nice to see. When's the last time OU's had three guys on this list?
Been a while.
If you're an OU fan, that's nice to see that they're starting to get some attention and get some respect. And, again, it just adds on to the hype of this upcoming season, is that not only is the offense pretty solid. By the way, five players OU, five players Iowa State. Did I count that right on offense?
Well, six counting the kicker
if you count
for
that
Oklahoma.
As offense,
but, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, again, three guys from OU, two of them on the defensive line with Isaiah Thomas and Perrion Winfrey. And then Nick Benito, I like his progression.
Oh, yeah.
See if it can continue this
year. He would seem to be the guy, if it's Oklahoma, he would seem to be the guy that would have the best chance because of the flash plays he's going to be able to make rushing the passer.
Mm-hmm.
Perrion Winfrey, probably by the time it's over, if he continues to improve the way he did throughout the year last year, probably has the best chance at the highest draft prospects from OU's defense going into next year's draft. But Benito, as far as this award goes, I think would have the best chance. Now,
Harbell Peel from Oklahoma State on here.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And, and I'm going to ask about who's not on here, and it's an Oklahoma State guy in the secondary. Where is Trey Sterling? Trey Sterling has been a fantastic player in the secondary for Oklahoma State. That's one of the ones missing to me, just kind of pops out at you, is where is Trey Sterling on the defensive side for OSU? It just feels like when you look down through here and you don't really know the names of guys from TCU a lot, And they turn out to be good players because they get them drafted on defense. But it feels like when you make these lists, especially on defense, if you're kind of struggling to find guys, they just put in TCU guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's probably the same way on offense for OU because of the way they've been. But here's the difference. OU's actually been the best offense in the nation. TCU hasn't been the best defense in the Big 12.
Right.
I think it's a little bit more of a named people love Patterson and overrate him as a coach. Yeah, I said it. Overrate him as a coach. Nobody from Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. No, actually, Harvo Pill. No, nobody from OU in the secondary. One guy that I think looks the part, and I said this earlier this week, if there is an OU defender in the secondary that ends up on the real Big 12, all Big 12 team as opposed to the preseason one, I think it'll be Woody Washington.
I was going to go there. The question is going to be asked, who's going to be on the list at the end of the year? I think he has the potential to be on that list. He showed some really good stuff last year. How many interceptions he had? Multiple pass breakups. He always seemed to be at the right place at the right time, and he just looked that part that could probably, if he keeps getting better, play at the next level. So thinking if he is better than what he was last year, he has a very good chance to make the All Big 12 team at the end of the year, and it makes it goes back to your thing. Oh, well, let's plug in a TCU guy.
Yeah, and Trey Sterling's clearly that for me, a guy that'll be on the real one instead of the fake one at the first of the year.
Right.
That one just popped out at me because I was thinking when you kind of start seeing it filter out, like, okay, that defense going to have. I mean, I would have thought it'd have Sterling before Harvell Peel, just to be quite honest, but with the production. Now, I'm not saying that he's. I think, you know, Harvell Peel's got more potential and talent, maybe. Trey Sterling's been a great player for OSU in the secondary, for sure. I think another guy, and golly, this is going to make me sound like I'm going to be on the Texas hype train, but whoever wins that quarterback job, let me ask you this. Would you consider Casey Thompson in the running for newcomer of the year?
Yeah, I can see that.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know he's probably doesn't fit the criteria of the award, but the guy played in the bowl.
I know what you're saying.
He's essentially a newcomer.
And I was thinking about, you know, how do we define newcomer? The first year playing in the league, but you got a guy that's already dubbed the newcomer of the year, and he's played how many years at Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean,
you see what I'm saying?
Transfers are always available.
You almost feel like newcomers should be freshman of the year, you know, the first time. But I can see – so if we're that lax with the definition of newcomer of the year, then yeah, but Casey Thompson should absolutely be considered.
I mean, he's not quite the catalyst for the season like, let's say, we both think Spencer Sanders is for OSU. But I think there's a chance – and a decent one at that we get done with this season and we look back and we go, you know what? As good a college quarterback as Sam Ehlinger was for most of his career, I think Texas got an upgrade.
Yeah.
Just because of the limitations that Ehlinger had of throwing the football and what it looked like Casey could do. And you know what? But here's the deal. He may not even win the job. Hudson Card is right there. Yeah, alongside
that hasn't been solidified.
Fighting for that. But so I guess I'd say, I mean, he obviously would qualify if Hudson Card's the quarterback.
Right.
So maybe one of those two guys.
I think Eric Gray gets the nod because I think a lot assume he will be running back number one.
Which is crazy to me.
Isn't that nuts?
Crazy to me.
But he had Kennedy Brooks. I know he's coming back.
He's averaged like 9 yards a carry for his career.
But he set out a year. People knock him for that.
Yeah, it's wild.
Why don't we name him the newcomer of the year?
Well, maybe he is.
The returner of the year, the returning player.
Question on the text line. Pick one newcomer for OU on the offensive and defensive side of the ball who could creep onto the all-conference team at the end of the year. Eric Gray, obviously, on offense, right?
Well, I mean, he's already on the list.
I mean, he won the new preseason newcomer of the year. I mean,
does that count? I mean, what if he outperforms Breece Hall? You know, I mean, is that the question? I mean, is that an answer?
Well, yeah. I mean, Eric Gray would be the obvious pick, I think, on offense for Oklahoma, for sure.
Yeah.
Defensively, that's a little bit different because, you know, here we get into semantics. So, okay, how does this work? If guys set out last year, do they become eligible for this? Because if they do, I have an easy answer. If they don't, then it gets a little bit harder.
Okay.
Because if guys that set out are now eligible for these, Jalen Redmond's the easy choice.
Yeah.
If not, you know who you hear a bunch about? And golly, he's not the same size, thank God. He's a little bit bigger. But you know who's starting to get the hype that you heard from a just newly departed big-time recruit defensively, meaning Brendan Radley-Hiles? You know, the hype for that guy before he ever played a game was monstrous. Part of the reason is he was the first five-star defensive recruit for Oklahoma in I don't even know how many years. And he never lived up to it. Right. He probably wasn't as bad as people made it out to be, and there you go. Yeah, Billy Bowman. You're starting to hear the name Billy Bowman everywhere. Pat Jones just said it yesterday when talking about the newcomer of the year in the conference. You've heard about him. He's from down there in Texas, Denton Ryan. Offense, defense. He didn't know for sure where they were going to play him. Sounds like defense to start. He could be a guy that returns kicks and that kind of thing. And quite frankly, there's not a lot of spots for newcomers on the Oklahoma defense.
That's a good point.
You know, a secondary guy, it almost has to be because you're talking about, you know, Woody Washington's back, Turner Yell's back. That's about it. You know, you're missing Norwood, you're missing Pat Fields, right? And you're missing, what was the other one? Trey Brown. So there's spots back there to fill.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's going to get a crack at it. And there's other guys. You know, DJ Graham, we saw him a little bit. At one of the corner spots, he looked pretty good when he played. Sure, he'll be opposite of Woody. And then a bunch of names from the recruiting trail that you've heard, and who are they? Jeremiah Crudell, Bryson Washington. Who are these guys? Can they play? Kendall Dennis. You know, Justin Harrington, the JUCO guy that never got to play last year because he was hurt. Key Lawrence, he could be a newcomer of the year on defense for OU, one of the transfers from Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's guys, but it's mostly secondary guys, I think, on that defense for OU. Other than that, you've got most everybody back. So it'd have to be somebody pretty special to just kind of slip in there. There's a lot of talk about Clayton Smith. It was probably the gem of the defensive recruiting class last year from Texarkana. Can he rush the passer, kind of step in that role? But it's pretty interesting to be able to say names instead of, I don't know.
That's a good point.
Don't give up 50.
That's a good point.
Don't give up 50 and win.
Yeah. The 100% everybody agreed on slam dunk guy on this list, tight end Charlie Kohler, right?
Oh.
You're creeping in some doubt?
No, I mean,
who else do you think?
I think he absolutely deserves to be there, but he's not exactly the slam dunk. I mean,
he is, I say unanimous because he was a unanimous pick. The only one on both offense and defense to be a unanimous pick.
And it makes sense. He's a great, great player.
But was there anybody else to pick?
Stogner.
Sure.
But he was hurt.
He was hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
But when he's not hurt, he's really good.
And the way that both of those teams use the tight end, and OSU as well, better than anybody else in the league, it feels like.
Yeah.
You know, K-State's always got a big, giant one, but it feels like they just block.
They just run block.
Right. Yeah. And those other three kind of use them. In the past game more than anybody else. All right, what do you think the preseason poll is going to look like, real quick?
Oh, well, clearly OU number one and Kansas number 10.
That's the only locks, right?
I saw this list. I made it up real quick. OU, Iowa State. I'm buying in to the Bevo burger here. I'm eating it. Texas number 3. And then right there in the middle is a mess, right? That's kind of the hardest part to pick. I'm going to do a slight lean. You're not going to like it, but I'll go to TCU, OSU, Baylor, Kansas State. Again, TCU, OSU, Baylor, Kansas State. That area right there is so hard to pick.
Yeah, see, I don't know how you can't put Texas in that list too.
And then followed by West Virginia, Texas Tech, and, of course, Kansas.
I got OU, Iowa State, and then one of those next three or four.
Roll some dice, right?
Yeah. I wish I could think about where everybody plays everybody. I think OSU has to go to Texas. Is that right?
Texas is at Iowa
State. Texas is at Iowa State. Iowa State's at Oklahoma. I'll go OSU 3, Texas 4, TCU 5, Kansas last. I know K-State, Baylor, Tech. Is that everybody? West Virginia. Yeah, West Virginia may be a little bit better.
They're saying Baylor could be better.
I just think you've got...
But again, right in the middle, after...
Skinny, I can't wait till Oklahoma State beats OU, Texas, and Iowa State. Well, I can't either. Problem is, you're going to... Don't hold your breath.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't hold your breath. Because...
I'll go with the percentages of that not happening.
It's going to be a fun football season.
It is.
It's going to be fun. Because I honestly, I think Oklahoma's better than everybody. And without Iowa State being used to being in this spot, I think you got Iowa State, OSU, Texas, TCU, all kind of jumbled up. And whoever plays the best, do you really trust Brock Purdy?
Nah.
Text line, did you see the PFF, which Pro Football Focus top 50 college football players? I had not actually seen this list. I pulled it up, and wow, this will be something to talk about tomorrow for sure.
It's a little all over the place.
I mean, no offense, but if you're just talking about the best football players in the nation, no offense to Spencer Rattler, but he ain't that. Now, could he possibly be the top pick in the NFL draft? Sure, but that doesn't mean he's the best player in that draft. So, yeah, I already have a problem with it, the first guy. We'll talk about this tomorrow. And then, you know, I mean... Offensive line's important, but a center as the third best player in the whole nation? Really? And the problem is you don't know.
He's a do-it-all center.
Do-it-all center. He snaps it with both hands.
He also is the deep snapper.
I mean, that's the problem, though, with offensive line play, right? Because you can tell when it's terrible because either you get penalties or a guy's running by you to sack the quarterback.
Yeah.
But how do you quantify when it's good?
Keeping your quarterback upright for one.
Yeah, but what about – is that you? Is it the double team?
The center is the quarterback of the offensive line, so recognizing
– it's hard to know enough about it.
Know what's coming up and yelling out the audibles to
I mean, like, for instance, during the draft process this year, you heard that Creed Humphrey hadn't given up a sack in like 2.5 years. Really? Sure seemed like it did to me last year. You know, that's what I'm saying, though. It's hard to know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe that wasn't his fault. Or maybe that was, you know, it's just. So, therefore, I mean, Tyler Linderbaum. It's the first time I've ever heard that name.
From Iowa?
Iowa. Iowa Zach, $10. What's that from?
I don't know.
Iowa Zach, $10.
What is that from?
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell.
When Slater wouldn't tell his dad he wanted to go to Iowa to wrestle. Anyhow, we'll look at this list. They've also made the professional list, too. So that's a good one on the text line.
Yeah.
We'll look at. NBA Finals, Game 2 tonight. Who wins?
Phoenix in a close one. Close one. Haven't heard anything other than Giannis still being able to go.
Yeah, that's
different. So I think he plays better, but I think Phoenix is better at home. So I think it's going to be, you know, game one, the score didn't indicate it. You know, Milwaukee made their little run there at the end. But
Phoenix dominated.
It was Phoenix. It was all Phoenix. I think Milwaukee, because it was a last-minute inclusion of Giannis in that game pretty much. So now they know he's going to go. They've known since the end of the first game. So I think it's going to be a close, more entertaining game, but I'll take Phoenix.
Yeah.
How about you?
I've got to pick the Bucks.
Right.
Because I picked the Bucks
at 6.
Help
your picks, yeah.
It's going to be hard to win 4 in a row.
Right.
Has happened.
Sure it has.
Remember Miami doing it to Dallas in 2006. Yeah. I don't feel good about it, though. It'd be interesting to see.
You're going with the Bucks?
I'm going with the Bucks.
Okay.
How Giannis is. If he's noticeably better.
Yeah.
Does Phoenix have to scheme for him a little bit more that might open up somebody else? I don't know. Everybody have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow.